Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See lowes.com/rebates for details.
Kevin was, Kevin is, a damn good mariachi, a tough guy, sensitive, like a poet who knows karate, and he loves his girl more than anything in the world. She leaves, he cries, he crashes, she flies away. I, my heart. I, my heart.
Someday. Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm J Clone 3-4. That's not ready for this.
Tell you. So. That is the Ballad of Senior Pinch.
Ah, the Ballad of Senior Pinch.
Yes.
All right. I knew it was Senior Pinch.
Yeah, so that is the actual song, the Ballad of Senior Pinch. Noah of Senior Pinch sent it over for us for this special episode.
Wow.
So anybody that know, my favorite band of pretty much all time is Senior Pinch. One of the band members is named Noah. He just had a little girl last year.
Congratulations, Noah.
I'm hoping I didn't get that wrong. I'm pretty sure he had just had a little girl.
Oh, okay.
But I could be confusing with me having two little girls last year.
True. Girls are on the mind.
Yeah. But no, Noah is great. The band's great. We absolutely love their music.
Yes.
So this is something I promised I would do for Noah a long time ago. And an episode all about Senior Pinch.
Ah.
Which is a giant crab.
Yes. Senior Pinch, the giant crab.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay, we're going to get into it. I know a little bit about the lore of Senior Pinch.
So way before we met Noah and knew him, or, you know, met him online and all that stuff, and the Patreon people helped us, like, get in contact with
yeah,
him.
Connect.
But, and the whole band is awesome. They're such sweet people. But before that, we made up a story about Senior Pinch. It was on Patreon one night, back when I was still drinking, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, for sure it was then.
About how he was this giant crab monster out of Baja, California.
Yep, right off the Baja coast.
Yeah. I found a collection of all kinds of giant aquatic crab monsters we're going to talk about.
Ooh.
So this is the Ballad of Senior Pinch.
All right. Well, are you going to tell them what Senior Pinch, your story of Senior Pinch, the lore you made, or is that in this going to be coming up?
That's kind of pretty much it. Do you remember more than I do?
I remember one thing, like what it's known for.
Which is?
Chopping ships in half.
Yep. Yep. And that's from the original Kraken.
Yeah.
So if anybody didn't know, the original Kraken, later on it was adopted and changed into like a giant cephalopod, so squid, octopus, you know, thing. Before that, it was described as a giant crustacean, and it literally would take its giant claws that they mistook for rocks and
would
pinch them in half.
Yep.
Yep. That's Senior Pinch. He eats baby whales down in Baja, California.
Dang. The lore.
Yeah. So... speaking of Baja California, let's just hop a little bit away to Mexico.
Okay,
that's not Baja, Mexico as well.
Right.
So this is Lena Veraca, Mexico. The person that witnessed this is named Andrew. And we're going to, so I believe this is translated from Spanish to English. So if there's any little hiccups here and there, it's on me, not on the submitter of the story.
Okay.
This happened in September of 2012. There was four witnesses. Andrew was the main person that turned in the story. He was 22 years old at the time. So towards the end, I'm going to just read his encounter. And this was submitted to the Pine Bearings Institute, Adam Benedict.
Okay.
Check out his books. Great books.
Yes, awesome books.
Towards the end of the summer of 2012, my family went on a trip to Cancun. Although it was pretty standard family vacation, we lounged by the pool and saw Chila Itzu and ate a ton of room service. One thing we did on the trip was going on adventure parks somewhere between Cancun and Lera Verraco. One of the major features of the adventure park was its cantinas, which are under, not cantinas, cantinos, something, underwater cave features.
Oh, okay.
So these massive underwater caves, one of which had been converted into a, basically a lazy river.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
And have you ever seen videos of this? I've seen videos. I don't know if it's this exact one.
Uh-huh.
But this is one of my bucket list things.
Is that where they like take kayak through like the caves?
We have one here, Red River Gorge in Kentucky. Yeah. You can kayak through a cave.
Yeah.
This is like crystal clear, beautiful water. You just tube through it and go through it. And most of the time they have lights hanging up in the cave.
Oh, nice. But
it's never like pitch black or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. That sounds nice.
And I think the water's pretty shallow and pretty moves, not fast, but enough where you're always moving.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, so underwater caves, one of which was even converted into a lazy river. It was in Lazy River that I had my encounter. My family and I were about halfway through the 45-minute swim. My mom was swimming ahead, my sister behind, and I felt something a little bit like a hand grab my foot. My natural and immediate response was to turn around and berate my older sister for trying to scare me. But when I did, I saw her. She was at least 10 feet away. Whatever had a hold of my foot was still there.
Mm, or she has really long arms.
So he thinks his sister swam down and grabbed his foot.
Right.
Turns around. She's way far away. And then there's somebody still holding on to his leg down there.
That would not be fun.
That's the time I began to realize it was felt less than a hand and more like a shelled animal. So like a carcinous shell.
Yeah.
I understandably freaked out and started kicking wildly. The creature dislodged my foot and dislodged from my foot and disappeared into the darker waters of the cave. I looked, but I could find no sign of it. My family more or less wrote it off, but the encounter sticks with me. And to this day, it's one of the weirdest things that is the creature actually left a mark on my foot.
Hmm.
It had dime sized patches on my skin from the top of my foot and down my leg. They almost look like second degree burns.
Hmm.
Then I guess I call it a bite mark. It didn't hurt at all. In fact, it wasn't really any sensation in the area within the bite mark until more than a week later. The bite mark didn't even begin to heal for well past a month, and then it was gone.
Huh. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Okay, is that it? Or
there's a little bit more. There's some further emails that he sent in and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at first, yeah, so something like a claw
grabbed his foot.
Yeah, had a hold of a big portion of his leg. And it didn't hurt.
Right.
You know, it didn't feel more than pressure.
Right,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And then afterwards, when he started freaking out, it let go, mm-hmm. whatever the thing was. But it was kind of going with him at first. And then it let go.
Hmm.
So it was like, in my head, it was free off the bottom.
Right, yeah.
And then let go.
It wasn't like attached to the bottom.
And then you could see the dark shape shoot back towards the bottom.
Hmm. Yeah, that would scare me.
So he describes it as burn marks, these marks from the pieces of what he says, like a bite.
Right, yeah.
To me, it's a claw, obviously. You know, more to me, it seems like a giant claw of something. So, but he didn't have any feeling.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of animals that will actually produce in their salivas and in their stings and stuff like that, a numbing agent. Vampire bats are really famous.
Yep.
You actually don't feel a vampire bat bite. Because what they do first is they lick the area. They have an extreme numbing agent in
right.
their saliva.
Yep.
So they lick it first, and that's to numb it like a doctor would.
Yep.
And then they bite the little hole, and then they have an anticoagulant in their blood.
So you don't bleed.
Or in their saliva.
Spit, yeah.
So you don't stop bleeding.
Right. Oh, so you don't stop bleeding.
Yeah, they want you to keep bleeding.
That makes
they don't
sense.
Want it to scab over
because that's
their feeding. There's other animals. Mosquitoes are another one. Not all mosquito species have it.
Yeah,
there's,
some sting.
Like the black tiger mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Feel like you got shot. But there are plenty of other animals.
It's a bit extreme.
You ever got bit by one?
Maybe. I don't know, but it's like
It's like getting shot with a pellet gun.
Okay, pellet. Okay, there you go.
Oh, not like a shotgun.
No, it's something. I don't know. Like a shot.
No, like a pellet gun. Jeez,
mosquito.
Like a pellet gun.
Okay, fair.
No, it was bad.
No, I bet. Yeah, I don't like getting bit by or
they got
stung
feathers
or...
too.
Ooh, really?
Is that no?
It's like that's a weird bug.
That's a joke. Mosquitoes are so big they got feathers.
Okay. I don't know.
Oh, what
we do Freaky Fun on Friday? Of course, I'm gonna believe
that. The North Carolina galley nipper.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The giant mosquito thing
that like 3 foot across.
Yeah, galley nipper. You're right. Yeah.
But yeah, so the burns. Almost to me suggest maybe even acid a part of this, whether it's a digestion like feature or it's whatever the slime is.
What was he saying too? Like the little circles or the little like indentation. I don't know.
So he felt that they were much more like teeth marks from the thing.
Oh, okay.
To me, I get it like the conchals on a claw.
Right.
The big knobs.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
But it could be stingers. It could be anything from...
I was even thinking like, why not suction pads? Like a...
Could be that. Yeah. You know? There's plenty of cephalopods that are venomous. Actually, some of the most venomous animals on the planet are cephalopods.
Okay.
Blue-ringed octopus is a famous one.
Yep.
Because they eat crustaceans that are much larger than themselves. So they bite and the thing has to die within a second.
Now. Yeah.
And people die within seconds sometimes being bit by them.
Well, that's for sure.
I just seen a kid that had one.
But I also don't think one of them could hold someone's foot.
No. I mean, they're tiny.
Right, exactly.
There was a kid, though, on one of the Australian like zoo shows recently that had in a bucket a cone snail and a blue ring octopus in the same.
Like the two most.
And the guy is like, because he was showing the wildlife officer. And he's like, yeah. I'm going to take your bucket.
Yeah, you can die.
Both of those kill everybody on this beach.
Yeah, it's crazy. You got like the two worst.
You got a stonefish somewhere?
Right, yeah, might as well. Yeah, it's right here. Mm-hmm. Another bucket.
But like second degree burns. Very odd. So information received after further communication, Adam Benedict reached back out and got some stuff, you know, back from the eyewitness. He said, I definitely describe it as if something close to a giant crab or even a spider. I describe the sensation of having it on my foot like a claw, more like a claw than a tentacle or a mollusk foot.
Okay.
So that's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, translated from Spanish.
Right, yeah.
I distinctly remember mistaking it for a hand at first, but there was no one close to me that could have held on to me even after I turned.
Hmm.
So he still gets that idea.
Someone grabbed him.
Mm-hmm.
Which... I've shared that story where I got sucked to that culvert. And I'm telling you, it felt when I got sucked through it, the initial pull I felt, it pulling my feet.
Oh, it feels like a person?
It felt like hands. It felt like hands grabbing your feet and just yanking you down. I don't know. Maybe that's just a sensation of something underwater grabbing you. It's just, you automatically just feels like hands. I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. And I've been in some pretty scary situations in water, and it can feel like that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just your brain trying to rationalize this overall like encompassing feeling.
Mm-hmm. Because that's just, I mean, I don't know, I've had that playing around the pool like when we were kids, my cousin and stuff, where they yank you underwater and you just can't, like they're holding you under or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary.
I'm sure.
Or they, one time we walk underwater and they sit on my shoulders and just see how far you can go.
Oh, yes.
But then he wouldn't, like, get off. And I'm, like, trying not to drown. And yeah, that's scary.
I had older cousins about murder me several times. Yeah. And then I told you about the time I drowned. I did not drown, but I got water in my lungs and everything.
Okay.
I told you about that, right?
I don't know.
It's the reason, I still to this day, I hate pools. And I really think it's this reason.
Okay.
It was at the Ada pool. And I'm sorry, guys. This is a relaxed episode. So.
Yeah.
You're getting relaxed stories.
Yeah.
This is at the Ada pool. I was probably 6.
Oh, okay.
Could not swim.
Long time ago.
Could not swim. Grew up, my dad couldn't swim and would always tell us, if you go in the water, I'll go in after you, but we're both going to die
because
I can't swim.
Mm-hmm.
So not a fear of the water, but I didn't like going in the deep end. I could not swim.
A little bit of an unsettling feeling.
So I'm at the Ada pool, probably 6 or 7 years old. All of a sudden, some guy I do not know picks me up over his head and throws me into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember going down like a rock.
Yeah.
And I remember like everything getting black and me like starting to cough and then coming back out. And it was the same guy. And what he had done, he thought I was his nephew.
Yeah.
But he was just throwing into the pool and coming out.
Yeah.
His nephew was about my age and could swim. I could not. Threw me in the pool and I sank like a rock and he watched for a second and realized
it was not.
And then he jumped in and he did save me.
Yeah.
And he felt horrible. I remember that. He was pretty much in tears with my mom. Just like,
yeah,
But
I bet.
I did not. I've never liked pools.
Huh. Well, that could have something to do with it. Maybe a little thing.
Yeah. I remember everything starting to go black.
Oh, that's scary. Yeah. Yeah. that's gone dying.
It didn't hurt until I was back
out of the water.
Cause my lungs burnt so bad from the water.
Oh, and the chlorine and all that. Oh, I bet. Oh, it's terrible. But anyways, sorry.
Giant crab attacks.
Yeah, giant crab. The giant crab down there pull you down.
Now, I normally save a lot of these, what they could be until the very end.
Yeah.
But there were some interesting ones specifically just about this one.
Like interesting, like example.
What it could be.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Natural things.
Okay.
One thing is that it could be the tongue of a mollusk. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who doesn't know, bivalves, for example.
Right.
Clams, mussels, those kind of things. They have what's called a tongue or a foot, depending on which one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very strong. And depending on the species, they actually can swim and crawl and move around with them.
Right.
Scallops use their tongue to actually, like, to jet propulse around.
Like, they swim.
Yeah, they actually swim.
Yeah.
They're not great at swimming, but they can.
It works.
They can go distance. They're not good at aiming.
It's like a quail
trying
to fly.
They can do it.
Right. But they're not going to go very far, but they can get away.
So one of... thing that people talk about with this story in particular was perhaps a mussel had got dislodged and had hit his foot.
Found his foot.
And wrapped around it to hold on and try to anchor itself.
Hmm.
So the chitin he felt was the shell.
Yeah.
But the human feeling was the tongue.
Yeah.
And depending on the mussel, they can produce some pretty strong stomach acids as a defense.
Right, yeah.
So that could have caused the burns.
Hmm.
Another one, which would be a giant... it's called a big clawed pink or purple hermit crab.
Okay.
And they are a giant land hermit crab from Mexico. They're not too far from this area. And they're pretty big. They're not humongous, right? They're not like massive.
Yeah.
But they're big for a hermit crab.
Okay.
Like the size of a pop bottle.
Okay. That's,
I mean, they're big. They're big. They're just not like, when I say giant purple hermit crab, they're not like the size of a giant spider crab or something like that.
Yeah. It's still small.
So one thought was it was outside of its shell. And it had wrapped its tail. If you have anybody to know, hermit crabs have really long, muscular tails.
Go up and anchors himself into
the shell.
Yep.
So another thing that it could have wrapped around the boy's leg.
Okay.
And caused stinging marks, essentially. Those little anchor feet.
Okay.
So as it's trying to hold on to something, digging. If it fell into the water, they're not aquatic hermit crabs.
Oh, okay.
So it's panicking, trying not to drown.
Gotcha. Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
Those are just some thoughts that.
Didn't
don't pertain maybe to the rest of these.
Yeah.
So I wanted to throw those out here now.
Yeah. The only way I could rule those both out would be the mass he saw below
and
him.
He feels very confident. Once again, it's translated. I'm not a Spanish speaker or I barely read English.
That's true.
Let alone Spanish. There was a little bit I could speak, a little bit of Spanish. I could probably get, when I was in college, get around a town.
Yeah.
I knew to ask for food. I knew to ask for no onions. I knew to ask where the bathroom was and where the zoo was.
Oh, all the essentials.
Yeah.
What's fish?
Well, is it pesca?
I don't know. Just figured you'd know that one.
Polo, right? Is that chicken or
poco? Yeah, pollo.
Pollo.
P-O-L-L-O, but the L is a Y sound.
Yeah. Chicken, no onion. No, so, I mean, that's it. So, like I said, the giant purple hermit crab is like 7-8 inches long.
Yeah. Hmm. So, well,
there are crabs in that area.
Okay.
But they're just not giant.
Okay. Well, before you get to what it probably is, I don't know of any crabs or crustacean with claws that has ever grabbed anything gently.
No, that's not true. I know you yes, that is,
I don't know.
That is common.
Yeah.
There is a giant land crab called giant zombie crabs.
Okay.
Where they have massive claws, but they have big loops in them, almost like handcuffs.
Okay.
And they're very common pets for enthusiasts of massive invertebrates.
Okay.
Not common as in... So the two biggest land crustaceans are like the coconut crab, which we'll talk about later, and then these guys, the giant zombie land crabs.
Okay.
But they can fully fit their claws
around
your forearm.
Oh, that's cool.
And they really don't have any pinch power. They're giant, delicate claws.
Okay.
So they really can't hurt you. I've seen people that have them. If you get like the very end of them, may pinch on a little bit. But they're very thin, dainty claws.
Oh, okay.
So they're going through for very small food.
Yeah.
It's like coconut crabs and those kind of things. Yep. They're cracking things with
big,
their claws.
Yeah, big nutcrackers, basically.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, coconut crackers.
So the zombie crabs aren't doing that.
Hmm. That's funny.
There are some more. There are a couple larger species that are more dainty.
Yeah.
But the molars on the claws on some of these, like coconut crabs.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen them break a dog's leg. There's videos of that. Like, they just, dog gets too close and they just grab a dog.
Strong.
They get it. It will come off.
Yeah, that's scary.
They've eaten people.
I mean, I've been pinched by crawdads and that sucks. So I don't want to get pinched by anything big.
I think the biggest thing I've ever been pinched by was a blue crab.
Ooh, that's pretty big.
And that sucked.
I bet, yeah.
It was using for bait in Florida.
Oh, I bet.
Or maybe it was a mud crab. I don't know. It was like a bait crab.
Yeah.
That you buy at the store.
When we were kids, my brother, we used to catch big crawdads under the docks and use them as bait. Mm-hmm. And you just stick a little fish on a hook and you'd hang it out in front of their hole. You'd see them. They reach out and grab it and you just yank it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a big bucket full of big crawdads. And my cousin pulled out the two biggest ones. And I'm saying big, like, you know, the size of my hand now, which I don't know how big that is. 7-8 inches across
your thumb. Yeah.
So they were that big. Like, they were huge crawdads. Big claws on them. And he pulled them out, and he pretended like doing a little wrestling match, you know, back and forth. But, you know, doing the Hulk Hogan and stuff. And I'm sitting there. I'm like 5 or 6. It's an early memory of me, and I'm watching him. I'm watching him like, this is great. Great entertainment. So he's all done. They're all done. They put all the crawdads back, and I'm looking around. Everyone's gone. Well, I go back down to the bucket, and I'm, well, I want to do that. That's fun. It's like playing with toys. Reach in there, grab the biggest one out of there.
Gosh.
I watched it reach its claw right back around and just grab right on my finger. And I could not let it go. So I'm down there screaming, shaking this thing. And I think I shook it off hard enough, like its arm flew off. But the claw, I got the claw off my finger. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That sucked.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
This comes from an article by Micah Hanks.
Well, wait, you never got to your explanation.
I'm going to do the rest of all the explanations at the end. Oh. I just said those ones specifically pertain to that
thing.
One.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Because I don't think any of the rest of these are giant purple hairy hermit crabs.
Or mollusked out of their shell.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. Crabzilla is the name of this article. So this is from 2014. So it's pretty old. The photos have been said to be a hoax, but they may not be. So Quentin Winter, who collects strange and spooky sightings in the Weird Whistlestab website, at first thought images that were sent to him from a follower showed an unusual sand formation in the shape of a crab. And this was carried by the UK's Express, accompanied with images claimed to show a hardy resembling any sand formation, but rather a giant crab monster of the deep.
I think I remember seeing this picture.
Yeah.
I think I remember when this came out.
The one you were thinking of, is it real or fake?
Like you said, this was, what, 10, 11 years ago now? 2014, said?
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Oh, I don't remember. I think I remember seeing that, like the headline and stuff. Mm-hmm.
He believes he saw a giant lurking close to the shore when he took his son crabbing last summer in the harbor of Whistlestable, I don't know however you say it. We're going to get emails. Which is famed for its massive oyster population.
Okay.
Which was, you know, reported by a journalist. But the sea monster was no serpent, nor a writhing octopus, some Lovecraftian nightmare. It was supposedly a giant crab was haunting this beach. Documented the monster's presence in the shores near Kent, England.
Hmm.
Specifically, this crab appeared to be in the variety known as Cancer hagaris, which is the scientific name.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, classic shore crab. Without hardly a question, the specimen in the photo is actually no larger than any variety it has claimed. Just happened, like, it's one of those optical illusion photos.
Oh, okay.
That it's just a big one, like it's just a big crab. Something about the crab seems less than scary for most of us, at least compared to the other monsters of the ocean depth. The crab, despite its crushing claws, isn't nearly as frightening as thought, with a lonely swimmer being chased by a massive shark or being wrapped up by massive tentacles that slip around your ankles.
Yeah, I would rather deal with a crab any day.
And yet, crabs are indeed associated with some of the greatest mysteries of our time. One notable theory involves Amelia Earhart with her disappearance.
Oh, that's right. The crab's eating her.
I'm still getting, it's been like 3 weeks, and I'm still getting over being sick.
Oh, I thought you were just laughing about Amelia Earhart.
No, I do think crabs could have ate her, depending on which island. If she made it to an island and she lived.
Yeah.
I do think crabs ate her.
Okay. Ate her body.
Ate her alive.
Oh, okay.
They've done that. Coconut crabs have done that to people.
Oh, gosh. What do they do? Like break your leg or something?
So basically, they just kind of wear you down. It depends on the island you're on, because the populations can kind of behave a little differently.
Yeah.
But on islands with no humans, what will happen a lot of times is that, like, when you're trying to sleep or whatever, they'll get and start pinching you. And, you know, they're breaking anything they're pinching.
Right.
For everybody to understand, you know, coconut crabs get like 11 pounds. And I can't remember their actual...
They're big.
Their crush rate. But they explode coconuts.
Yeah. So they pinch hard.
And they'll just, you know, pinch off. What a lot of times happens with people, they get eaten by them, is it's just being wore down over time because you can't sleep because they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Because they're highly opportunistic, and a lot of the environments they live in are very nutrient poor.
Mm.
So they can't afford to miss a big meal like a human.
So you're getting eight.
Yeah.
That's a horror film right there. Crab Island.
It's not great.
So, yeah. Intellectual property. We just claimed it.
Crab Island.
Yeah.
But, no, that... I mean, I could see her being eaten. We know a lot of people were eaten. We found a lot of remains of deceased humans on islands.
Okay.
A lot of shipwreck victims and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's what happened. You can just see where even, like, some of the bigger bones had been cracked in half by these coconut crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Like femurs and stuff like that.
Especially after you're dead. I mean, they're eating everything.
So, but populations that have island inhabitants tend to not be nearly as aggressive towards people. Or as food driven towards people.
Okay.
And one of the thought is that humans pretty much always mean food waste. When we eat and consume things, there's a lot of stuff on a carcass we don't eat, a lot of plant matter we don't eat.
Mm.
So there's always an abundance of food when a human's population has established.
Gotcha.
Or a scavenger.
So they're used to that.
If they don't want to go, there's no reason for them to go after people because there's food in trash.
Right.
And if you look, a lot of the famous hermit crab or giant. Or giant coconut crab pictures are on trash cans. They know where the food is.
Right. Opportunistic scavengers.
Yep. Ready for another giant crab?
Oh, yeah.
The Mamba Mutu.
Okay.
From Africa.
Oh.
Now, this is kind of some bunyip stuff.
Okay. Amalgamation of things.
That there are several versions of this creature.
Gotcha.
And one of them happens to be a giant crustacean.
Ooh, all right.
But others is like a giant walrus in the jungle. But like the bunyip, you know, where the bunyip's described as a lobster.
Right.
As a crocodile, as a bird.
And everything in between.
Yeah. So one reputed vampire-like creature is the Mamba Mutu. It's a blood-sucking mermaid or aquatic creature from Lake Tanganyika in Africa. Cryptologists seem to think these represent some kind of... They can either represent some kind of freshwater manatee people are seeing, some unknown species, or something like a giant crab or something like that.
Okay.
So what the people say about the Mamba Mutu is it's a very dangerous creature. It lives in Lake Tanganyika, located near the Dominican Republic of the Congo. Do you know anything about Lake Tanganyika?
Not at all.
It's like if you could do it and not get murdered.
It'd be a dream.
It's a dream place to go to.
There's just a lot of biodiversity.
Yes. It's right on the equator. It's in the heart of one of the most diverse habitats that we know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
We know way, way, way more about the Amazon than we do about the Congo.
Wow. And imagine what's in there.
We've talked about that in our giant snakes episode,
that
the Congo's the only forest in the world on the equator missing its giant snake.
Oh, okay.
And it's probably not missing it. We just probably haven't got a chance to go in and find
it. See it yet.
Yeah, and it has megafauna in it. It's the only rainforest in the world. That's not true. Sorry. It's
Australia.
The only rainforest in the world that has aquatic megafauna.
Is that Meckelia mbembe?
Hippos.
Okay.
Documented megafauna.
Okay. Yeah, might have more.
Because there are rhinos in like Java that swim, but they're not really aquatic. They like to swim though.
Okay.
And then there's like tapirs in South America, which is 400 or 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I think they probably are on the edge of megafauna. I can't remember. Depending on where you look, the what the actual poundage is.
Right.
But I think it's around 600-700 pounds is megafauna.
Okay.
So tapirs may count as aquatic megafauna.
They may. Yeah, they're on
but
the
like
list.
Hippos, right? Right.
Big things.
The Congo's full of hippos.
Right.
But yeah. So this lake, this area where this monster lives, is the, one of the least researched and, like you already said, biodiverse places on the planet.
Mm.
That has actual documented monsters that live in it. There are giraffes there, which the okapi.
Mm-hmm.
There are hippos and elephants and lions.
Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So if the people that live there are not scared of those animals and they warn you about this thing,
it must be a little more frightening.
Yeah. So depending on which description of the Mamba Matu you get, it is said to closely resemble a giant lobster. Fish like, you know, like it's almost like an elongated fish lobster.
Mm.
Some people said it has a very humanoid appearance on the back of its shell.
Mm.
Or it has a fake face.
Right.
Natives to the Congo state that the Mamba Matu likes to feed on the blood of children specifically, and like a crocodile will lay in wait at the water's edge and use its fake face to lure people to it.
You know what this sounds like?
Hmm.
You talked about in many other episodes being that human predator.
This could be one.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to that fake human face.
Right. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah. The Mamba Matu originates, and I'm going to try to say this. So the first one's Swahili.
Okay.
Which is Bantu. I mean, like I said, that's roughly, so that's one of the words that means the Matu or the Mamba Matu. But Mamba Matu translates to crocodile slashed armored man.
Mm. Interesting.
So like kind of this aquatic armored creature with a humanoid appearance kind of deal.
Yeah.
Lizard man kind of thing. I've seen people draw it like the skateboard swamp monster. But from what I could find, a lot of the ones talking about this describe it much more like an aquatic animal, either a giant crustacean or something similar to that.
Gotcha.
Hmm. But like essentially a big lobster. And then you go further into Central Africa, the legends call this creature the same thing, the Mamba Matu. And they describe it much more as half human, half lobster. When they're shown pictures of lobsters or other aquatic invertebrates like that, they'll point to it and be like, it's like that.
Gosh. I'd rather run into a megafauna mammal any day.
Yeah.
Any ungulate. Because I feel like you can look in those eyes and kind of read it a little bit.
Yeah.
A giant lobster fish.
Monster.
Monster.
You have no idea.
Yeah. It's just
there
like
ain't no
death
yeah.
is the only thing that is in its eyes. Yeah.
But yeah. So other people describe it as being much more like a mermaid. Now, there is a different Congo mermaid, and this may be one of those things that's getting lost in translation.
Okay, yeah.
Where it is two separate creatures, unfortunately, due to poor research, mm-hmm. are being kind of lumped in. Well, this tribe caused this, that.
Gotcha.
But this other tribe has the same two creatures, but has the names flipped.
Gotcha.
That kind of deal. But yeah, it's where its similarities end. The Mamba Matu's considered very, very dangerous. It really loves sucking on human blood. If it gets a person, a lot of times it'll pin them and drink the blood first.
Jeez.
And it eats brains.
Oh, wonderful.
But that is, the brain thing is a common Africa cryptid or monster thing.
They all eat the brains, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing. What, animals eat brains?
I guess so.
So if you have the ability, the only reason a lot of scavengers don't eat brains is because they can't get through a skull case to get it.
Fair.
And a lot of animals that have, like, for example, deer, right? A really thick skull case, really mm-hmm. small brain.
Ain't comparatively. Worth it.
It's not worth it. There's right. other stuff to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Humans, we have comparatively, a very thin skull case
yeah.
and a very big brain.
Yeah.
So it may just be a thing that's more worth it on eating a human than it is on other animals.
I can't imagine all the rotten stuff that's in our brains now. Well, besides the microplastics.
This creature is said specifically to inhabit Lake Tanganyika and the Luka River in the Congo. Moving out of the legends, is that Lake Tanganyika is home to some of the most ferocious fish and animals on the planet. One of the most famous inhabitants Jeremy Wade made famous was the Goliath tigerfish, growing over 5 feet long and having the ability to bite a child in half.
I think was that, he did an episode on that?
Yes.
Did he ever catch one or did he just show
pictures?
Yes,
he did.
Did it have the big gnarly spear-like teeth?
Yeah. So it's one of the coolest fish for that because it has a double hinged jaw.
Uh-huh.
That's why it can open its mouth so wide.
Okay.
It has two hinges.
Oh, gosh.
So its top jaw moves independently of the bottom
jaw. Yeah,
jeez. So, like, our top jaws don't move.
Move at all.
It's fused to the skull.
Yeah. It's like a, kind of like how goblin sharks and things like that, how their jaw.
Yes, no.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean.
There's more protrudes, I guess.
So before we get to the next one, we'll take our ad break. But before we do that, why don't you tell, if you wanted to catch a Mamba Matu, who would you go to help you catch it?
Maybe the future anglers of Indian Lake, Ohio. You know, that's a great organization that donates a lot of fishing equipment and gear to the youth.
And time.
And time. Wait, what?
They donate a lot of time.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, yes, they do donate a lot of time. And
I mean, the group of people that put it on, they donate a lot of their weekends. They donate
absolutely
a lot of, hundreds of hours a year.
To make sure the kids have enough equipment and the knowledge to fish and fish safely and knowledgeably and
enjoy the respectfully.
Outdoors. Yeah.
And respectfully. 100%. I know they do a lot of trash cleanups. I just seen that recently, which they try to teach them to take more than you bring.
Hmm. That's
a practice policy for a lot of fishermen now.
Yeah.
Is because there's so much trash.
Even
if it's not fisherman stuff, you know.
Right. It's from other places getting blown in.
So they tell you to bring like a little Walmart bag or a trash bag and take more than you bring.
Yeah. That's nice.
All right. We'll play our ad. We'll be right back.
Suey! I got me this hot, fresh squonk steak, but man, it tastes bad. Jay, you got anything to fix this up?
I think you need some seasoning on that squonk fixer up.
Well, what do you got?
How about you try this right here? It's called Bigfoot Breath. Raw garlic seasoning made from fresh garlic.
Give me that. That's. Well, it did make it taste a lot better. Jeez.
Brought that squonk right alive, didn't it?
You know, I'm going to have to kill more squonks to use more of this seasoning.
Oh, how about you try this instead? How about you try my spicy garlic seasoning?
Oh, give it here. Suey! That's good stuff.
Spicy, but not too spicy.
That's perfect. Where can you get these delicacies?
Oh, you can find these on flavorsforest.com. This is our newest spice that's just been created. And it's from Flavors of the Forest.
Make sure you all get some at the links down below. We'll catch you. Suey!
Oh, I love that.
Mm. I need a squonk steak now.
I need a squonk steak.
Coming up for Squonkapalooza.
Yeah, squonk steak. Which, if all goes well, my children's book will be available at Squonkapalooza.
Ooh. So stay tuned on that. There's a little...
My first children's book.
Foreshadowing. Things to come.
It's your turn to start working on your book.
Uh-oh. That's scary.
All right. My last monster before we get into what some of these things could be.
Okay.
Is polypus. Polypus? I don't know how to say it. It's literally spelled polypus. It means many-footed. And Michael actually talked about this thing in his presentation.
Yep.
His giant sandbar lobster was based off of this guy.
Okay.
So this is several cultures... I've said about polypus. It's on a lot of the ancient maps with sea monsters. He's always there. This is like the daddy of all crustaceans.
Ooh.
So what could be the southern kraken?
The bloop.
Yeah, it could be. But this could be like the southern kraken.
Right.
Because polypus seems to be much more southern. It seems to be much more towards the equator, following that line around the earth.
Okay.
And the kraken seems to be the northern variety. And there are giant crustaceans in both of those habitats.
Okay.
They're very different. They wouldn't commingle, if that makes sense.
Yes. They're, I don't know. They just wouldn't mix.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it literally means many-footed. It's a huge crustacean that was said to sink boats and vessels with its massive claws.
Uh-oh.
With a pinch and a pinch.
Senior pinch.
Most sightings took place in the Middle Ages and even into the early modern era. Is described as a huge crustacean that would come to the surface during storms specifically to sink any ship that violates its territory. Many sailors have invented many legends around it. While Olaus Magnus in 1539 drew the giant lobster-like creature, his text describes it like this, or like a cephalopod crustacean hybrid.
Okay.
So even though he just drew it like a giant lobster, mm-hmm. he said it was different than that. It was like a mix between the two.
Okay.
But in 2019, the coast of Norway, a huge monster that looked like a crustacean attacked a boat and sank it, never to be seen again. Since then, fishermen report missing by there were later found dead floating near the shore.
Ooh.
So the giant crabs, the giant lobsters, Senior Pinch is still out there getting people.
This was
off in 2019 off the coast of Norway, where a giant chunk of cable went missing.
I was just going to say that.
That somebody already ruined.
I did.
Yeah.
When?
You brought him up already.
The bloop?
Yeah.
Oh. The northern bloop.
The northern bloop. No, but you got it. That we're in 2019. I did not know this till doing this episode. 2019. I could not. If anybody's in Norway, we actually have some listeners in Norway.
Yeah.
I can see you guys listening. If you can find more information on this and send it in, please do. I could find no more than what I've read.
Okay.
What people said is basically during a storm, is fishermen radioed in that they were being attacked by a monster. And it was basically like a giant lobster, is how they described it. And then the boat went down in the storm. And then they were found 4 or 5 days later dead floating at the shore.
It's either a giant lobster or a giant Metal Gear Ray machine the government's developing.
Both. Remember the Atlantis?
They combine the DNA of the giant lobsters with machine.
Remember the giant lobster robot?
Oh, you're talking about the movie Atlantis.
Yes. Ah. It guides the entries.
I kind of do, but I think...
Essentially, it's what it was. It was like a hybrid between a squid and a lobster. It was an automaton.
Soft disclosure.
Because it was a machine powered by their crystals, but it was designed and based off of a lobster and given, not free will, but a lot of its own... Not quite full consciousness. There was nobody piloting it.
Right.
But it guarded the entry to Atlantis and sank every ship that got close.
Okay. I mean, there are stories of automatons being made, like ancient ones, that opening up crypts, like, or crypts or tombs, or where you'd step on. There was this one I remember hearing a story about. I mean, it's probably just stories, but they opened up and they found an eternal flame?
Yeah. And he went over and cracked it?
Yeah, they stepped on a switch and it stood up and went and smashed it. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's interesting stuff. I don't know if it's real or
there's
not.
There's that silver swan, too, is one of the oldest working automatons in the world.
Yeah, I've seen that recently, yeah.
It's like, I mean, it's not nearly as old as what you're talking about, but it still works.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a very large history of those things. Very large. Like the Antikythera, or what's it called?
The Antikythera mechanism.
Yeah, that's a very complicated, I mean, whatever they say it is or could be, but either way, it's complicated. I don't know. It's the world's a lot older and more advanced than we think.
So with this 2019 off the coast of Norway, it is like 100 miles from when that cable keeps going missing.
Hmm.
And we talked about it in the bloop episodes. That cable, the internet cable, the tracking cable, absolutely drives the crustaceans mad.
Mm.
Drives them batty. Because there's sharks too, but...
It drives them what?
Batty.
Batty?
Yeah.
So now Big Crab Daddy's got a...
He's all batty.
Batty Daddy Crabby. But, chopping the cord.
It drives them nuts. But there was actual videos of some of these cables being covered in lobsters. Because the lobsters are just trying to kill thing because it's frying their brains.
Right.
So now just make a lobster 150 foot long. Maybe he could just pinch through it or gnaw on it.
Nature probably manifested it to deal with it. Or those lobsters did.
Yeah.
Or not, crabs, I mean, sorry. They combine their mental acuity to manifest one giant one.
There you go. That's like they're fish people from D&D, where they have the power to make gods.
Well, here's your loud example.
Chair.
Here's your example of that being true.
All right, so let me hop back to the Mamba Matu.
Okay.
The human-like face.
Right.
So, do you know there is a species of crab off the coast of Japan that has the face of a samurai on its back?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I remember seeing the picture.
Do you know why?
It resembled, wasn't it one of their emperors?
Yes.
And so they...
One crabbed it.
So they kept that one and bred it, right?
Nope.
What did they do?
So they're painted, they're like painted crabs. It's a common food crab in Japan. So it was just one of the patterns looked like that. So they started putting those crabs back.
Mm-hmm.
And they selectively bred the population to have more human-like faces.
Right.
And it got more and more and more and more human. Now it looks like it's painted on there.
That's insane.
From selective breeding. Because eventually they were like, we can't find any more that don't look like it. So find the one that just could,
looks like a human.
That doesn't look like it as much.
Yeah.
And so they just kept selectively breeding better pictures. So you already said it. Human predator. What if this is mimicking that human reflection or that human look in the water?
Yeah.
It's not really a face.
Yeah.
As in a visible face. It's a pattern on the shell or a piece of the shell that's designed to mimic that.
Right, yeah.
So when humans see it in the water, it looks like a person's laying down there, so they jump in to help them.
Or they see a person, you're immediately like...
What's that?
Curious, yeah.
So it lures you in.
Yep.
So it could be a lure, and absolutely. Could be selectively bred over time that...
To do ones that.
Look better... And like there's a whole species supposedly right now of crocodilian in Asia that's doing that, acting like drowning people.
Really?
They're putting their arms up, acting like they're drowning so that's people crazy. Jump in.
We know about octopus doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this could be the Mamba Matu could be that it is a giant crustacean. And I don't know how big. We'll talk about that in a minute. Big enough to kill a kid because they talk really a lot about the Mamba Matu. Really targeting kids.
Yeah, easier targets. I mean.
And we talked about El Curo a couple of weeks ago, and that's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really talk about El Curo going for full-grown people most of the time,
mm-hmm.
but he goes for
the vulnerable kids.
Which is a predator thing. It's just, you know, it's what you pick.
Easy meal.
Mm-hmm. So that could be this. And polypus is just, you know, the giant oceanic version, or it could be the bloop. So let's talk about big crabs.
All right.
So... We're going to talk about the biggest crabs alive today.
Okay.
We'll talk about some big prehistoric crabs. And then we'll talk about what these things could be if they're not just big crabs.
Okay.
The biggest crabs in the world, number one, is the Japanese spider crab, which has some of the biggest, and the spider crab family, if you listen to Freaky Fauna Friday, has some of the biggest and the smallest members to it of any crustaceans. So on the top end, the Japanese spider crab is among the largest. Their body can span more than 13 feet across, but their actual carapace, their center, is anywhere from 15 to 18 inches.
Right. It's like a daddy long leg.
Yeah. They weigh about 40 to 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Their body typically is adorned with algae and other marine organisms, providing them camouflage in their natural habitat, essentially becoming living ecosystems.
It would still be scary to see one underwater.
Yes. Oh gosh, yeah. Tasmanian giant crabs.
Oh, that sounds...
These are ones that I would love to have an aquarium for these guys because these are just absolutely terrifying if you can find an adult.
How big are they?
They've been hunted a lot, so you don't get them nearly as big as they were.
Okay.
And they're like still a restaurant delicacy, which a lot of people are fighting against.
Yeah.
Because they're off the coast of Tasmania. They don't have a very big range.
Okay.
And they're being targeted for their size.
So they're endangered?
Yeah. So the Tasmanian giant crab, the enormous crustacean lives off the coast of Tasmania, commercially fished for its prized meat. These crabs can easily weigh over 20 pounds, but they have a big, round, classic crab body.
Okay.
So unlike the Japanese spider crab, they're not 14 feet tall.
Right.
But they are almost the same. They're half the weight, and they're like a bowling ball.
Right, yeah.
And they are known for their extremely round bodies with their extremely major claws. With the biggest claw being up to 17 inches long.
Jeez. So is this like what all the cartoon crabs are modeled after, yeah, basically?
This is the Popeye crab.
Yeah.
So it's 17. So the body of the giant spider, or the Japanese spider crab, is the same size.
As its big claw?
As the big claw on this guy.
Gosh. That is going to be a meaty meal.
Yeah. They live and breed in deep water. They feed on small fish, crustaceans, carrion. They pretty much anything they can catch. It helps control populations of prey species, and they are an extremely important role in the nutrient cycle off of Tasmania. And they are one of the big factors why the underwater ecosystem off the coast of Tasmania is becoming unbalanced, is because they're over harvesting of these.
Gotcha.
Next one, coconut crabs. They're big, one of the largest land invertebrates that are still alive. It is still classified as the largest terrestrial arthropod in the world.
Mm.
Pacific regions from India and the Pacific Oceans, islands like Christmas Island. They, you know, surprisingly, they like to climb coconut trees to eat coconuts. They can have a 40-inch leg span.
Oh, geez. Okay, that's pretty big.
That's leg tip to leg tip, and they weigh around 10 to 12 pounds.
Are they related to coconut shrimp?
No. This makes them the largest land crab in the world by a lot.
Yeah.
Despite their name, coconut crabs don't really like to eat coconuts unless they have to.
Yeah.
They much prefer a varied diet, including fruits, nuts, small animals, and carrion. But if they have to, they will. It possesses a keen sense of smell and can crack open a coconut with its powerful claws.
That's so crazy.
Incredibly strong. A single 10-pound coconut crab is able to lift 65 pounds with its claw.
That's very impressive.
So that's 6.5 times, right?
Yeah.
That's 6.5 times its weight. So I am 270 pounds.
Oh, you're going to make me do math.
No, it's roughly. It's like me picking up 1,500 pounds.
Yeah.
It's like me holding a horse over my head and carrying him around. Not a small, like a big horse.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, carrying 1,500 pounds is a big horse.
Like carrying a big horse over my head.
Yeah.
Or a full, with one arm. Or a full-size cow.
With one arm.
With one arm.
Yeah.
So when we talked about Amelia Earhart earlier with coconut crabs, there you go.
Yeah, they get three of these and they can do anything with it.
And they just pick you to death.
In crowd server.
Mm-hmm. That's what they talked about with Komodo dragons eating people too.
You think they did that to her? Like crowd surfed her and she's like, woo, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think
if and then they right did, into a giant crowd's mouth.
If they did that, it was much more like a giant paper shredder.
Yeah, just
like you just start melting on their claws.
So by the time she's at the end of the crowd surf, she's just bones.
Yeah. Crushed bones. Horrible.
That'd be a horrible death.
Alaskan king crabs are number four.
Ooh.
These are the large crustaceans people prize for their succulent meat.
That's what the show is all about, mm-hmm. That deadliest catch.
Yep. Native to the cold waters of North Pacific, they primarily inhabit the Bering Straits and the Gulf of Alaska. They have a very spiky shell. Their leg span can exceed 5 feet, and they can weigh up to 28 pounds, making it one of the largest edible crabs in the world.
Wow.
Sometimes also called the red king crab, the Alaskan king crabs are omnivorous scavengers. They do not care what they eat. They will eat you. They will eat each other. They will eat algae. They do not care. The rest of these, here, I'm going to pick some notable ones. The giant mud crab is a species native to the Indo-Pacific region, common mangrove forest. Have you ever watched people in Australia, like, try to hunt the giant crabs that are in, like, shallows that are, like, dog-sized? It's these guys.
Oh, okay.
And they will break your wrist.
Gosh.
If they catch you and you don't catch them, they will break it. their carapace, their body can be well over 12 inches wide. They can weigh up to 11 to 12 pounds. While they're not truly land crustaceans, they can go on land for short periods of time, but they are tied to the water. They're very dark brown or black, their color of dark mud.
Mm.
They're prized for large size and delicious meat, but they are a formidable prey. They are omnivores, feeding on anything they can catch and detritus. And then the European spider crab, which is another spiny crab from the Atlantic. It's the Atlantic's version.
Oh, okay.
It's not as big, but it's still a large crab.
Gotcha. So that's all of our big crabs.
So that's the biggest crabs alive today.
Yep.
So you have everything from, you know, if you're living more shallow water, 10, 12 pounds, living in the deep ocean. We have some individuals, which our largest individual, I had it written. The largest crab ever caught was known as Big Daddy. A professional wrestler, Shirley Crabtree, caught him.
What?
Big Daddy's crab was measured 10 feet and 2.5 inches wide. Also set the record for the longest legs of any crab. So each one of his legs was 4.5 feet long.
What kind of crab was it?
The giant Japanese spider crab.
Okay.
In 2013, Big Daddy traveled from Japan to the Sea Life Blackpool Aquarium, United Kingdom, where he lived to be about 80 years old. Ultimately passing away in 2016.
Oh, wow.
But yeah.
No, Big Daddy.
Yeah, there was no actual weight on him because he was hard to weigh.
Oh, I bet. You need a very unique scale.
But yeah, he got caught by a professional crab wrestler.
A crab wrestler? Yeah. Not a professional wrestler. A professional crab wrestler? Yes. What kind of thing is that?
She caught him.
Well, you just got to keep their claws open?
Hey!
Yeah.
It's 14 feet long.
Well, one of those. Well, you could kill one of those crabs.
As long as it does. See, you can kill any crab very easily.
Even the Jap.
But if you get touched by the claws, it's removing whatever it touches.
Even the Japanese big one? Yeah. I feel like that one even.
I think you're underestimating it because it's like a daddy long legs.
Right, yeah.
They're not soft.
I would fight it.
So let's talk about the biggest crabs in history.
All right.
Prehistory. We don't know.
Okay, fair enough. All right, end episode.
End of episode.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been the great power. No, surprisingly, this may surprise a lot of people or shock a lot of people. Giant crabs don't fossilize well.
Okay. Why is that?
Now, you could think, well, they're hard-bodied animals. A lot of hard-bodied animals fossilize extremely well.
Right.
Now, the way crabs fossilize, a lot of times they break apart. If they don't encapsulate in one whole rock,
mm-hmm.
they break into fragments.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a claw of a crab that is 20 inches long. That's it. We don't have anything with the body.
That's pretty big.
But here's the thing. Is it like a sand crab where the claw is bigger than the body?
Right.
Is it like a mud crab where it's, you know, pretty relatively equal? Is it like a spider crab where they're pretty small for the body size? We don't know.
We don't know the phenotype.
Yeah, we don't know
it's attached
the rest of the proportions of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So crabs, giant crabs, little crabs fossilize extremely well because a lot of times they bury themselves and they get covered really quickly.
Okay.
And they fossilize as one unit.
Okay.
Giant crabs often fossilize in pieces and bits. And if they don't have a living representative of their clade or of their genus alive today,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard to reverse engineer them.
Okay.
So we have living representatives of their genus. It's a lot easier because we can kind of guesstimate the body proportions.
Which, yes.
You know, it's not 100% accurate, but it's a lot better than just having a piece of a crab.
Right.
And no living members.
It's better speculation.
So this is very similar to giant cephalopods of prehistory.
Okay.
That we know they were large. They were extremely large.
We just don't know
how.
Right.
One of the biggest cephalopod, quote-unquote, fossils we ever had is not a cephalopod fossil. It is its nest that was decorated with dinosaur bones and massive, huge bones that it was dragging around and putting in, decorated orientation, which a lot of cephalopods will do for mating displays.
Yeah.
The bones were massive, so they have an estimate. They have a minimum size for how big it would have to be to move the bones around and place them. And then some of the bones even showed giant gnaw marks from a cephalopod beak.
Hmm.
Whether it killed the animals or not, nobody will know. It could be, there's plenty of cephalopods that are scavengers.
Right, absolutely.
So it could be scavenging on it. So these guys are kind of falling into the same bracket, is that they just kind of break apart when they fossilize.
Yeah.
They don't stay in one piece.
I mean, it makes sense, too.
Because they're segmented. Their right. bodies, when they're, yep. when the flesh is out of them, the pieces of chitin
are separate.
Yeah, they want to be separate.
Right.
And
these, it's like a suit of armor.
Yeah, these giant crabs will fall apart. If you like everything from sand piranhas and stuff will get inside their shells and just start eating them, you know, right after they die.
Oh, gotcha.
And I've picked up crustacean shells, like lobster carapace, and then it just a billion sand piranhas fall out of it.
Yeah.
There's no meat.
Yeah.
It's all clean. So it's hard to really piece together how big historically they got. We know they got pretty large. I've seen some scientists put them up to like some of the like spider-like crabs up to 25 feet wide. Maybe 100 pounds or 150 pounds.
I'd still fight it.
Yeah. You know how, like, that's as tall as his house.
No, I know. It's huge. And but then, man, they have to taste good.
Yeah. And then some of the more bulkier crabs, I've seen similar weights
mm-hmm.
where it's maybe 200 pounds, you know, and they still just break you.
That's a big, big old crab, yeah.
I personally believe they got much larger than that. I still believe there are crabs and crustaceans that are much, much larger than that. You look at their bio. Yeah, yeah. So I don't have a lot past this point for these guys.
Okay.
Because I just believe that there are giant crabs. I think that they are very cunning. Crabs can be very cunning. We did the intelligence episode,
mm-hmm.
and we now know crabs have emotions.
Right.
They have joy and fear and anxiety and excitement.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, and they actually remember things.
Yeah.
So I think there are cryptic species of crab that are massive. These may be very, very shallow or open ocean animals like tuna crabs, for example, where they live on the bottom during the day, but they follow the phantom zone up at night.
Okay.
So they become free swimming at night.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be where we're running into these giant crustaceans that are battling ships and storms.
Ah.
Right? That it just happens to be that they're always there. There's these, like, polypus is a real species
yeah.
of giant cephalopod. Or not cephalopod, sorry. Crustacean,
yes.
Giant crustacean that lives at the bottom most of the time. It's eating carrion and whale fall and other stuff. But when storms arrive, it swims up to the surface to, you know, for other opportunities to feed. Abbas run into a ship.
Like pirates.
Yeah. And then the sounds of the ship may bug them or sound like an injured whale.
Ooh, okay.
So we talked about with some of the whale attacks on whaling ships, it was always bull whales because the bull whales said, the thought is it sounds just like a male bull whale's fighting call.
Okay.
So they could be attracted to that. If they're that big, and I'm talking, you know, if they're 50, 60 foot long, they may be able to feed on whales occasionally. So if that sounds like a whale, they come up and they start just grabbing at things and, you know, crushing the ship.
Splash around the surface. Yeah.
So that's my main thought with this. Do you have any thoughts? I have a couple like little notes on other stuff, but that's my big one. I think they're real. I think that there are just giant cryptic crustaceans. Whether the bloop size.
Right, yeah. Well, and then the carcinization's another factor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if everything, you know, that's an appropriate or efficient body plan.
Crabs, lobsters, yeah.
I mean, so if there's a niche down there that is a big void where a big animal can fill, why hasn't it turned into, why not give it reason?
It will be a crab.
It will be eventually a crab one day.
It will be a crab.
Right. At least it's some cycle in its life.
I mean, yeah, I do think that they are real. I don't think they come into contact very often with people. I don't think
If they
go
did,
to shallow very often.
There'd be more stories about them or something.
And why they don't pick them on sonar is because they're on the bottom. They probably just look like a reef or a rock pile. Just
bounce right off.
They just look like a big rock land down there. You know, the bottom of the ocean's covered in big rocks.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like a free-swimming monster.
Now, if you catch one of them, like that video where swimming through the water. Or the one right on the top of the jellyfish, that crab.
Oh, yeah.
That video someone posted on our page. A giant crab like that swimming on a giant jellyfish, that would be pretty
crabs are
frightening.
Crabs and lobsters, well, not lobsters themselves, but there are plenty of free-swimming versions of those animals.
Yeah.
There are plenty of them that are very good swimmers, like tuna crabs.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, they look like little lobsters on the bottom, and then they are great swimmers.
Huh, that's pretty cool. Crabs, very diverse. Mm-hmm.
Other options, you know, time warps, government experiments.
Oh, of course, yeah. You can never rule that out.
Aliens. There are aliens from another planet.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can't really like Zoidberg. Sure. Yeah.
Demons.
It's always something.
Carcinization even works on demons.
They turn into crabs,
they start turning into the body pan of crabs.
That's where you know it's bad. They've just been here too long. They're turning into crabs.
God went too hard on the crab.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Man,
we thought man was God's perfect creation.
It was
the crab,
the demon crab.
Well, no, it was just the crab, and then everything's trying to mimic.
Well, fair. What if everything's just trying to mimic the demon crab?
I don't know. Crabs are first.
Okay, fair.
He said, "Let there be light. Let there be crabs."
Oh yeah, that is in there.
Genesis.
What's in one of them old versions they revised since then?
It got lost in translation.
Yeah, they took that out. They don't want the crabs.
That didn't make sense.
Right. Yeah, get rid of it. Off with it.
No, but yeah, I mean, do you have any thoughts?
Senior Pinch.
Yeah, Senior Pinch lives.
So he's out there. That's what the band's named after.
Mm-hmm.
The lore of Senior Pinch coming up to get your boat.
All right. I've been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been J Clone, I think 73.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye. Bye.
Kevin was, Kevin is, a damn good mariachi, a tough guy, sensitive, like a poet who knows karate, and he loves his girl more than anything in the world. She leaves, he cries, he crashes, she flies away. And he goes, I, my heart, I, my heart. Someday, some say, he'll turn over that lucky tarot. Girls, they don't date broken men in old sombreros. These days, he stays in a cheap casita in old South Tahoe. Rambling, gambling, CLS muy borracho. He's still going. I, my heart. My heart.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.